One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. So this is Holy Week. I think for a number of years, I'm not sure how many, maybe the past couple that I remember, most of you guys have been on vacation during this time of year, during Holy Week. But this is Holy Week, and over the next 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we remember what you saw acted out yesterday, acted out so well by our seventh grade class in the Living Stations of the Cross. Raise your hands if you guys got to see that, those of you that saw it yesterday, or maybe on Friday. Good. So what did you see yesterday? Well, you saw that Jesus was arrested, that he was rejected, scourged, they call it, being beaten and bruised, that he was made to carry his cross, the means of his death, what he would be crucified on, that he was crucified and that he died, right? He died and was buried. What you saw acted out, those living stations of the cross, Jesus' crucifixion, death, and burial, that's called the Passion of our Lord. It's called the Passion of our Lord because it is by his passion, it is because of his love for us, his love for his Father, it's because of his tremendous love that Jesus emptied himself completely, that he gave himself totally, dying for us so that we may have life and freedom from sin and death. That's what we remember Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, what Jesus endured for us because of his great love for us. So these 3 days, what do we call these next 3 days? What do we call Thursday? We call that Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday, right? And then Friday, we call that Good Friday. And Saturday, we call Holy Saturday. It's kind of original, right? Go back to just call it Holy again. Holy Saturday. But what do we call today? What do we call today? Who knows what we call today? Yeah? Well, very good. You said it. Say it out loud. That's right. We call today Spy Wednesday. It's called Spy Wednesday. Why? Do you know why it's called Spy Wednesday? No? Who knows why? Why is it called Spy Wednesday? Yeah. Okay, well, it's called Spy Wednesday because, right, it led to that, right? But it's what we heard proclaimed in the gospel today. It's called Spy Wednesday because of the gospel we just heard. Once Judas received his money, that 30 pieces of silver, he looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus, right? He spied on Jesus. How bad is that, right? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and he told them that he would look for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them. So he was sneaking around trying to catch his friend so that his friend could be arrested and killed. This is someone Jesus loved very much and chose to follow him, right? And yet he betrayed Jesus. And Judas Iscariot betrayed his friend. He sold him for money. What kind of a friend is that? When I was in fifth grade, I had a friend that betrayed me for 30 pieces of silver. No, that didn't really happen. I'm just kidding. I don't have a story that relates to this today. But why would Judas do something like that, though? Why would Judas do this to Jesus? No one really knows for sure, but there are a lot of opinions, and one of the most prevailing opinions is that Judas wasn't pleased with the kind of leader that Jesus was turning out to be. The name Iscariot, it comes from a word that means sword. The word is scare. So Iscariot comes from this word that means sword. So Judas was something of a rebel fighter, right? He was something of a warrior. He expected Jesus to lead a rebellion. He expected Jesus to lead a war, freeing the people of Israel from Rome and from any other nation that was a threat. But when Jesus didn't do this, when he demonstrated that the kingdom he was establishing was not an earthly kingdom, Judas was angry. Judas was so angry that he betrayed Jesus. Judas betrayed the one who loved him most. Perhaps you've had a friend do something like this. Perhaps you've had a friend that did something that you didn't like, something that hurt you, or maybe you've done something to a friend or to a family member, something that they didn't like, something that hurt them. If you've experienced something like that before, if you've been betrayed by someone, how did you respond to that betrayal? If you are the one who has betrayed another or hurt another, how did they respond to you after you hurt them? Let's look at Jesus and what he did. Jesus, his experience, his response, let's look at that for a little bit. See, it wasn't only Judas who betrayed Jesus, was it? Think about the other disciples. Judas was just the first one of the disciples who betrayed Jesus. Once Jesus is arrested, you'll see as the gospel unfolds that all the other disciples, many of the other disciples, most of the other disciples, they also abandon Jesus when he needs them most, right? At a time when he has been arrested, he's going through all that he's enduring for us, out of love for us, and they flee from him. They abandon him during that time. So imagine you're out on the playground playing with your friends, and all of a sudden they all run away in different directions, and you're left there all by yourself. Suddenly, no one likes you. No one wants to be around you. Imagine how you would feel in that moment. Imagine how lonely that would be, maybe even how scary that would be. That's what happened to Jesus. Once he was arrested, everyone ran away. Everyone left him alone. Even Peter, the first pope, he denied even knowing Jesus after Jesus was arrested. But what makes all of these other disciples, these ones who also abandoned Jesus, what makes them different from Judas? We remember Judas as the betrayer, the traitor, but we don't identify the other disciples because of their abandonment of Jesus. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is the disciples, they came back to Jesus, right? After Easter Sunday, pay attention to the readings in the gospel that you'll be hearing in Mass, especially in the Sundays after. The gospel readings focus on our Lord after his resurrection, how he appears to his disciples, even the ones who abandoned him after his arrest. He appears to them, he comes to them, because he loves them. In fact, he never stopped loving them. He comes to them and gives them opportunity for relationship to be restored with him. The disciples came back to Jesus and he received them. Jesus accepted his friends back because he loved them. What this teaches us is this: when you do something bad, when I do something bad too, not just you, but when we do something bad, we have two choices. Like Judas, we can run away from Jesus and never come back, or we can accept his love and return to him, acknowledging our faults, acknowledging our sin, You can return to Jesus because you know out of love, Jesus will take you back. That's the whole point of Lent as we prepare for Easter. That's the whole point of the sacrament of reconciliation. We come to our Lord and we say to him, I'm sorry for those things that I have done, but you know, Jesus, I still love you. And I know much more, you still love me, just as God the Father loves all of us. Jesus waits with open arms to welcome his wayward children. There's hope for us, even if we betray Jesus, as long as we turn back to him and ask forgiveness. Now, this doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It's wrong to go ahead and do something sinful because we know that we can be forgiven later. We call that the sin of presumption. But it's comforting to know that we have an eternally merciful and loving God who allows us to fall and rise again. So today, Spy Wednesday, it's a good day for us to look inward, to analyze our motives and our intentions, to embrace the mercy of God and acknowledge that we are sinners, and to remember that God loves us even when we betray him. God loves us, our Lord wants us, he will always be there for us to come back to him. So remember that as we enter into Easter, all of this that we are celebrating this week on Easter Sunday and in the weeks ahead, it's all about our Lord's love for us, his love for you, his love for all of us. When you're having fun with your friends, when you're celebrating with your family this Easter, remember that all of this love that you feel, it's a reflection of God's love for you. May Jesus be praised now and forever.